All right, this is Andy Baker from UIC. Looking forward to hearing the last band of the 3-day festival. It's been a great time, and looking forward to hearing this one. Okay, so, you know, Impressions, this is, you know, this modal tune, it presents a nice, easy framework for improvising over. And it's good, we've got a good, strong melody trumpet sound here going along with the trombone and the tenor, maybe, or just the trombone. Tempo's a little frantic. These figures that are accompanying the melody, They're all going by in kind of a blur. I think maybe it would sit a little better, just a little bit slower. So as you're practicing to improvise on this tune, it is just that one mode, and all the notes work. You don't have to worry about avoiding any of the notes of the concert D Dorian. So, you know, practice executing elements of the scale, you know, playing it up and down in increasing tempo till you can play some eighth notes at this speed and start to develop melodic ideas. This belt on background sounds good. It's nice. Yeah. I like this lyrical approach from the trumpet. Oh! So it's weird to switch from the ride cymbal to the hi-hat in the middle of the chorus. It's a kind of a jarring change of texture. Make your switches of surfaces, you know, if you're going to go back to the hi-hat, you're going to really take away a lot of dynamics. If you're going to do that, that would be something you'd want to have happen at the beginning of a new solo, not in the middle of a chorus. You know, I've said this a couple of times today, and maybe to one of your other bands. Now, there it goes again, the hi-hat on the bridge. If you're going to open up repeat a solo section multiple times, which is a great thing to do to give your kids lots of experience playing, make some changes in the texture of the background figure. You know, you could have no backgrounds behind the tenor solo and the backgrounds just behind the trumpets, or just have the saxophone backgrounds behind the trumpet and just the brass backgrounds behind the saxophone. Yeah. Drummer's doing a nice job of soloing and keeping track of the form and having the rhythm section joining on the bridge. That's a nice idea. Just make everyone comfortable about exactly where we are. Good playing on that solo, you know, the eighth note lines unfolded nicely. The one rushing, people were playing legato and had a nice build into through that chorus. That's a nice job. You know, soloists, you could take some of those eighth note lines and that you're already playing and incorporate them into your improvised choruses. You know, having these guys blow together is nice, but maybe just stick to trading fours, or maybe suggest that while they're working out the chemistry of that trading, that one start on the first half of the phrase and one start on the second half of the phrase, so they're both kind of tending to start phrases on bar one or bar five. See if we can flip those around a bit. Kashiba, yeah. Yeah. This is a really cool chart to work on a slow medium swing. Okay, whoever has the third trombone part, say A flat to G flat, we're playing G naturals. I recorded this chart with my college band, so. There's a version of this arrangement you can hear, and I think it's called African Sunrise instead of Early Morning. The Oliver Nelson Band might have been published under a couple of titles. It's hard to play this bucket mute stuff with the trombones. They're doing great. But if we could get more swell, we have, you know... Yeah, trumpets. You know, you're using the trumpets with buckets instead of flugels. That's great. This is a really tricky line to get in unison, and you guys are doing great. The only thing I'd say is the rhythm section is... This tune is quiet. It should stay quiet. And, don't get pulled up in dynamic, because we want those bucket mutes to just kind of sit comfortably over there. So it's important for the drummer to be patient and just lay down this groove. All we want to hear is ding, 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 ding. You know, the ride cymbal pattern's great. And just the crack on the two and the four on the cross stick. This is not a tune that there should be a lot of drum comping on. Yeah. You know, playing that duplet is really disruptive, and the bell sound is really disruptive. Just make the thing cook. You know, it's a great groove, and the hookup is pretty good. Just focus on making it feel as good as you possibly can. Two, three. Piano player's just got two beats ahead here. Ah, nice work on the drummer by just making it really clear where the chorus is. Thank you. we've come unhinged in the rhythm section. This would be a good time for the director to come over and just let everybody know what's going on. It should be the top of the chorus coming up here. And we're back on track. Excellent. Oh, we're missing. Getting B flats instead of B naturals in the bass. Two more bars. Yeah. So I think we had the Wednesday jazz ensemble from your school yesterday or the day before. And I think, you know, the allusion is that, you know, you only get to rehearse once a week. And, you know, if we could... yeah, it's hard it's hard to operate that way. So, you know, good for you, and all credit to you for getting these kids out to do this and putting it at a time where it's available. So this sax solo where it comes should be really big and full of vibrato. Not sure why tenor one isn't playing. You want to have those dips, those scoops on those notes. Here it is, trombones. Yeah. So, they definitely need more help from the director here and being cued back in this solo section. You know, many good things are happening there. But we lost track of the form a few times. The soloist seemed pretty unsure about how long the chorus was. And you know, it isn't just a straight blues. We have that 5 of 6 dominant. Don't know why I'm getting quite so technical, but we're in G. So we have a B7 chord going to an E7 chord. And that the B and the E are a really long way from G. And a long way from a G blues scale. So, you know, for the soloist, just... let's, you know, spend some time, put some work in on hitting the chord tones of those two chords, especially that first one. I think it's a B7 chord. Getting the D sharp, F sharp, and the A for the seventh, so that we hear that transition. And the drummer doing a really nice job, but just stay in the pocket on that one. No need to get anywhere. When we get to that background figure... saxes should be big and fat like the Basie band, and then trombones, you know, you could use some help being cued in with that figure and make as much out of those swells. We dap, and that quarter note at the end of it should be good and fat. nice intro from the band. And I really like your lead trumpet player's vibe. She's really into the music and is playing with a lot of conviction and energy. And that's really helping the band to feel better, to feel good, you know. We're on the flugel here. Take, you know, don't put too much air through it. Don't blow it like a trumpet because it gets really bright. Just back off on the volume and go for the prettiest sound you can get. You got the microphone there, so you don't need to generate a lot of volume. Yeah, I'm guessing it's a function of limited rehearsal time. But it's a little distracting to have you talking to the rhythm section in performance. And not just distracting to us as the audience, but distracting to them and the horn players. They're wondering, you know, you can see them like, oh, what's he saying? Is something changing? Am I doing something wrong? You know, if you don't have the time to address this stuff in rehearsal, you don't have the time. But, you know, yeah, think of the performance part where you're stewarding them through the gig. You're giving them confidence to execute all the work that you've put in during rehearsal. This is sounding good. You know, when your brass section, your wind section, is playing kind of wheelhouse figures, you know, things that they feel really comfortable on, they're making a big sound and playing with good time. So maybe think about finding more charts where the horns play all together and you know, in the pocket and work on bringing that big, fat, big band sound even more out of them. Because this sounds good. You know, another really positive thing is the balance in the rhythm section. It's very nice. You know, I've had a lot of bass players that have been significantly too loud in this room today. So, you know, it's well balanced. I can hear everything. I can hear the piano. I can hear the bass without it being too loud. I can hear the guitar a little bit. And that rhythm section quartet isn't overbalancing the horns. You know, I'm not really hearing the articulations in these trombone backgrounds. You know, put a lot of accent on that. Da, da. Especially on the first note. That's a nice saxophone unison sound. And if we got even more of the tenors, it would warm it up even more. Trombones sound good here. Good articulations in the saxophones. All right.
It's a wrap.
Yeah. Lots of strong ensemble playing there. I want to encourage you to work on developing the low end of the dynamic range with the band to get just more expression dynamically. You know, the band sounds really good playing loud. But, you know, in the three tunes, we didn't really get much below mezzo forte at any point. So, you know, that early morning would be a great chart to work on the low-end dynamic with. Just control at a soft level. Getting some more charts with kind of straight-ahead jazz figures in them so that the band can develop a cohesive, like, eighth and quarter note concept. You know, good solid rhythm section, lots of good things going on there. And, you know, good strength, a good tempo and pulse. So I'd love to hear, you know, even more improvisation from these kids. They're playing great. All right. Thanks for bringing all your bands to the festival. And I hope to see you again next year.